Back here on the Predators pregame show, Willie Donick from the 102.5 The Game studios in Nashville. Tom Callahan set to bring you the play-by-play from the XL Energy Center in St. Paul, Minnesota. Predators and Wild coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. And as we promised you earlier, we're going to talk with Pierre LeBrun. He is with ESPN.com. He covers the NHL. And, of course, he was at All-Star Weekend in Ottawa these past few days. He's getting back to the regular beat tonight. And Pierre, it's great to have you with us tonight and great to get back to the league playing and looking forward to these last 30, 32 games around the league.
Yeah, no, it's definitely great to get back with the regular games. I'm not a big All-Star Game fan, although I know for the younger fans it's in Ottawa, it was neat to see all their heroes. But I'd be okay if they cancel that thing one of these days.
Well, I don't blame you. I know there's always a lot of talk of what can you do to spruce up the event there, but we won't go down that road tonight anyway, Pierre. But when you talked to Ryan Suter over the weekend, it certainly it made a lot of waves. Here in Nashville, all of us who follow the team have been very, very curious as to what Ryan is going to do. Certainly the feel of the article should not have surprised anybody. If it did, they probably weren't paying that much attention. But as you started your talk with Ryan Suter, what were your thoughts, and did it surprise you anything that he said to you?
Well, I guess we were a little surprised that he would finally come out and address whether or not he would sign before the trade deadline. I think everyone knows that in a perfect world, that's exactly what David Poile, the GM of the Predators, would be able to achieve, is to sign Suter to an extension in order to avoid what would be a difficult decision come the trade deadline. So, we certainly paid attention when we were started asking Ryan about his future, that he felt that for reasons, and I agree with him, that it was becoming quite a distraction for the team. He just has decided that he won't sign for the deadline. He'll shelf those talks until after the season. Now, interestingly, people took that to mean different things, and I think Ryan was upset that some people reported or commented that it guaranteed that he would be out the door July 1st. So, in fact, Ryan kind of sought me out the next day on Saturday, and I wrote an update because he wanted to clarify his comments. And what he said is, you know, I'm not signing before the deadline, but that doesn't mean I'm out the door. He's still very much interested in listening to, you know, to what the Predators have to offer after the season. But right now just wants to focus on winning games with the Predators right in the thick of it. They're in the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff race. And, you know, I think that's often the reaction of star players that are heading into free agency, that sometimes they just don't want to negotiate during the year. And as you know, Shea Weber has made the same decision, telling the Predators that he wants to wait after the year as well.
And it certainly appears – or go ahead, Tom.
Thanks, Willie. Pierre, I know also in the article you had mentioned something about Ryan going out of his way to also contact David Poile about the situation.
Yeah, I think he wanted to make sure that that David didn't get the wrong impression either, given that different media there took a different tact. And there were a lot of media there, which I suspect that, you know, maybe that was a good opportunity for Ryan to, you know, to kind of end the speculation in terms of whether or not he would sign before the deadline. But, it's on the one hand, I think he, you know, by doing this, Ryan's right. I mean, it's going to allow the team to focus more on the ice and not worry about this stuff. However, it certainly does, in my opinion, put more pressure on David Poile, because now you know that your prized asset will not be under, will not have signed an extension by the trade deadline. So you have to make a decision, a very important one. Do you keep him for the rest of the year because your team has a chance to win the Central Division and go far in the playoffs and you need him to do so? But do you risk by not moving him, having him walk out the door July 1st if you're unable to sign him after the season? That's a really difficult decision. You saw last year how difficult it was for the Dallas Stars, and they decided, because they were sitting in a playoff spot at the trade deadline, to keep Brad Richards. And July 1st, he walked out the door, and the Stars got nothing in return for him. So the Devils right now have the same thing in New Jersey with Zach Parise. He's an unrestricted free agent July 1st, and my suspicion from what I'm hearing from other teams is that the Devils will indeed keep Parise, even though he likely will not have signed an extension either.
Go ahead, Willie.
Well, and Pierre, let's pick it up with that, because I think what's interesting is the Predators have tried to publicly, and I'm sure behind the scenes, make no secret about it that they want to get Ryan Suter and Shea Weber back. They're going to budget more money for salaries than they ever have before, but it's to a level that that they haven't done so in terms of getting up towards that ceiling. Is that probably where a lot of the reaction came from nationally, that the Predators have the perception of being the quote-unquote small market?
Yeah, well, no question, and it's not just a perception. Let's face it, the track record is that they don't spend a lot of money, except for the one year where they loaded up with Forsberg. Otherwise, it's been most years a very carefully planned roster with, you know, not a lot of the excess in the, financially. But that has now, there's been a decision from what David Boyle told me, that he's got the green light from ownership to add on the payroll starting next season. And obviously that would start with hopefully getting both Suter and Weber signed to multi-year extensions. And I think, you know, the challenge here for David and for Paul Fenton and the rest of the Predators front office is to sell Suter and Weber and their agents on the idea that this is going to happen, that the old days are gone and that the Predators are going to compete financially, you know, with the Chicagos and the Detroits of the division. And, you know, that's a sales job. You have to convince those two guys of that. And to me, the best way to convince them as well is to have a great playoff, you know, to go a couple of rounds, if not further, and convince everyone that, hey, we've taken a step here, both on and off the ice, that we've never taken before, and you guys should stick around and be part of it. And I think that's indeed what they're trying to do.
And certainly, I think that's a huge point, Pierre. They're going to do that. But I think there is a scenario where they really are going to do that eventually. And I think they would have done it last offseason had they been able to find the right moves. And I guess that's again, where David Poyle's dilemma is. And we've talked about this a lot here on our show and with all the Predator fans. I'm sure David Poyle wants to do everything he can. They've budgeted money for this year's budget, but it's kind of hard to find the pieces. So I think really what you worry about is they intend to do this. Eventually they will take it to the next level in terms of their payroll and their commitment towards that ceiling of the salary cap. But you can't just give away the farm when it's really a seller's market right now.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And you know, because one of the things that Ryan Suter mentioned again, and I think he's mentioned this before in your market, is that, you know, he, like a lot of the guys on the team, he's hoping that David can find a way to maybe add a piece before the deadline to make their team even better. And I think if you reap doing the lines, probably means, a top six forward. And David has gone on record with me and others saying that, well, he is on the lookout for a top six forward, but so are a lot of teams. If they're difficult to acquire. And he's going to keep trying between now and February 27th, but, you know, it's not a guarantee he'll be able to pull it off. So there's a lot of things that David Poyle is juggling right now. And again, it's going to be very interesting to see what he ultimately decides to do with Ryan Suter. You know, if I was a betting man, I'd say he's probably going to keep him, because that gives them a better chance to try and win a championship here this year. But you have to remember one thing, and that's why I wouldn't say that's 100%. I think the Predators, were upset when they lost Anaheim, who was a couple of years ago, and got nothing in return, essentially, for him when he signed in Vancouver. And so, you know, keep that in mind.
Pierre, on the flip side of that coin, just because you have the money to spend and the green light to do it, doesn't always guarantee results. I mean, Buffalo is one of those teams you can look at, but there are a number of teams that have some big contracts, have spent towards the cap, and aren't really seeing the results. When you look at what's out there, whether it be at the trade deadline, maybe free agency coming up this year, I mean, are there any guys you think of that really will provide the kind of value that, you know, if you're the Predators and you need to spend the money, or you're going to spend the money, that will actually be available? Because, you know, as you talked about with the trade, I mean, the cost can be extremely high, especially if it creates an auction-type setup.
Yeah, it's not a great year next summer for free agency. It's pretty top-heavy, and there's not a lot of depth to it. I think as a rental player, for example, one guy I like that I think would be a nice fit in Nashville would be Alex Hemsky of the Edmonton Oilers, who is one of those artists. You know, he's a high-end skill guy. He hasn't been too consistent, but he's got some of that type of skill that I think Nashville could really benefit from up front. And because he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, you know, you hope that you can get him without giving up too many assets. And obviously, if he plays well, then you hope to sign him at the end of the year. But I think that's, you know, an example, you know, of the type of player that the Predators could look at here before the deadline.
Pierre, as we let you go, just one quick question on Sidney Crosby. What did you make of the press conference with this new terminology that we hadn't really heard a whole lot about, the soft tissue injury?
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have one of those. But certainly, I guess on a positive front, the second opinion that they got yesterday in Philadelphia was that he did not ever suffer a fractured vertebrae, which was the original report Saturday night, and so this is kind of minimized a neck injury, not as bad as everyone had feared. So that's the good news, and also what's the good news is that they were having trouble explaining why he still had certain symptoms, you know, from his concussion, and now as they now know, as it turns out, some of it is because of the neck injury, and now they can better focus on his treatment because of it. So I think they're relieved from that standpoint, and I think it's going to, you know, help them and try and you know, eliminate those symptoms, and I suspect he is going to try and play before the end of the year.
Pierre, thank you very much for your time tonight. We appreciate it, and we will be watching to see what happens in the next few weeks, and everybody, of course, on the edge of their seat, not only on the ice, but trying to figure out what does happen ultimately with Ryan Suter
right.
And Shea Weber.
Yeah, no, it's one of the situations around the league that is really bears watching, absolutely. And I should add too that one of the things that Ryan added many times both Friday and Saturday that maybe didn't get as reported, but he did say how much he loved playing in Nashville, so I guess I should pass that on.
Yeah, I mean, he's never made any secret of that. I think it's fairly clear what's happening here. The question is, can the Predators do enough to have him feel good about the year in, year out commitment that they're going to have if he makes the commitment to them?
Precisely. That's exactly it.
Pierre, we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Pierre LeBrun, ESPN.com. When we come back, we'll have more of the Predators pregame show. We'll get Tom's take on what we just heard from Pierre. I don't know that really anything breakthrough has happened, although the one piece of news that I think we did get over the weekend was declaring that I think everybody was at least hopeful that there was a chance that Ryan Suter would sign long-term before the trading deadline. It looks like there's zero chance that that's going to happen, at least at this point. We'll see how that bears on the final result of this here in the coming weeks. When we come back, we'll go into the Predators locker room. You'll hear from Pekka Rinne. He is signed long-term, and the Predators goalie will be between the pipes tonight. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Absolute Vodka Cocktails Perfected. This is Nashville Predators Hockey on 102.5 The Game.